What's up? It's the Film Drunk Frogcast. I'm Vince Mancini. I am here with just everybody. Everybody that you've ever heard of and loved and come to love. Going from left to right in the Frog Quarters, I got Matt Louvre.
Yo, what up?
He's just hanging out. He's got his gray socks on. I got Matt Lieb.
Hey!
We're going to do a live edition of Love It or Leave It. Louvre it or Leave It.
Louvre it.
Louvre it or Leave It, bro.
Screwed that up. And then we got Brendan. He's eating a sandwich. And joining us via Skype from New York City, the giant apple, Brett.
Giant apple.
Wow, that was...
It was good ad-libbing right there.
You've ever done.
Yeah.
Hands down, number one.
Hands down, number one. Worst. What are you guys up to? What's going on?
I'm eating a sandwich.
Brendan is eating a sandwich.
That's pretty good.
I'm eating ice.
It's a lot of mouth sounds.
I'm clanking dishes.
Vince's favorite are mouth sounds.
It's true. I do like those. So tonight we're going to talk about some stuff, maybe some things. We got a voicemail that we're going to listen to.
Sweet.
What do you think about that?
I'm excited. Does it have anything to do with the fact that on the last episode I talked about my breakup and maybe that it's a girl and the girl wants maybe to date me?
One specific girl.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
That really would be the best.
It would make you feel real good, wouldn't it?
It really would.
Yeah. It's not about...
God damn it. Why would you set it up like that? I was pretty sure that that's what it was about.
The wrong one.
Oh. I did get a bunch of new followers on Twitter, which...
Did you?
Were any of them girls who loved you for you?
Nope. None of them were girls who loved me for
what
me.
What the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck indeed?
First of all, I want to say that I love the Film Drunk Frogcast. And I've been listening since maybe episode 32, possibly, or 42, maybe 52. I don't know. It's one of those three. But anyway, I just listened to the last one with Matt Lieb, and I think you should have Matt Lieb on like full time if possible. I like him.
Oh,
full time podcast.
But I Fuck. Heard that your ex girlfriend just took the dog to her house. What the fuck, Ben? Seriously, women get the children, the men get the dog. That's just the way it works. That's the way it fucking works. You should go over there, monkey scoop some shit out of your fracked butthole, throw it at her, and just take the dog back.
He makes an okay point.
Yeah, and he gives you a really good strategy. That's a hands-on strategy for getting the dog back.
She's going to be too busy with the poop to realize that you've stolen the dog. Yeah. That's the plan.
Well, but see, the thing is, his premise is that women get the children and men get the dogs. Which is true, but in the absence of children,
right,
the children revert to dogs.
Yeah,
and
I can.
Thus, the women get the dogs.
Yeah.
So.
Or the dogs revert to children, rather.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of. He does have good logic, though. I did not know that that the men are not supposed to have children and that the women are not supposed to love their pets. But it sounds right. I agree with what he says pretty much 100%, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everything he said. Especially the stuff at the beginning. Was that Krispy Kreme?
It could have been.
Was that Froggy Fresh?
We should ask him why James is crying.
Yeah. Well, we know why James is crying.
Because he just got dunked on.
He just got dunked on.
Hey, true. Can we get that guy on as a guest?
That's a good idea.
Probably, right? Because you guys seem to have pull.
Unless he's embarking on a world tour.
You should come up with these ideas in the middle of the week.
Oh, yeah.
I guess this would be normally a good time to come up with it.
Yeah.
Because then we
So
have,
actually,
like,
my idea generator is like right on time.
That's true. It's true. We preempted it with the early Frogcast.
But I really should be on the podcast more.
I ain't even lying.
So what'd I miss?
Oh, my girlfriend.
Should we do like on last week's Frogcast?
Yeah, we need a recap for Brendan.
Okay.
Matt's girlfriend learned the truth about Matt.
Well, no. nothing like that. She just learned that she wasn't into me anymore, and then she dumped me. And now I'm alone, and I'm scared.
This happened last week?
It happened at the beginning of the other week. So 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks from today.
Man.
Yeah, it was rough. It sucked. It sucked balls. But you know what? You know, it's while it sucked at the time, You know, you're just going to open a beer right in the middle of this.
I have a really, like, my mic picks up too much. Like, if I had one of your mics, you guys wouldn't even hear.
Yeah, you wouldn't have heard anything. yeah, so, no, things are good. I got back on the online dating scene, and I really do love online dating. So, you know, that's been going okay. I met a few girls who are pretty cool from there. But there's a hole in my heart where love used to be, so it's kind of hard to talk to them about stuff. But
you're in the honeymoon stage of online dating.
Yeah, yeah.
you're in the middle of your honeymoon with sorrow.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Online dating definitely has a trough of disillusionment.
Yeah.
And I'm right about the time like the third date flakes on you like the day before.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish everything could be like interviewing for jobs. I just wish that were they could make a site that just made my life just a constant interview like, with people that don't really want me there.
Like going to the grocery store, you just go to the online grocery store. Or
look, I realize you were really hoping to make some chili, but these pinto beans decided to go with a better buyer. Yeah.
There should be a section called objective and all the. I mean, they should cut to the chase. Like headline. What they mean is objective. Like
yeah,
resume.
Yeah. Like,
where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah,
to achieve a dynamic position in a fast-growing relationship.
My special skills include
sexual stuff, eating your pussy. Yeah, I really did think that giving my Twitter handle a bunch of times would possibly yield like some. Twitter hoes, because Twitter hoes is a real thing. That's something that I've...
Twitter hoes.
Yeah, women who meet men on Twitter and like...
Who do you know who's met a woman off Twitter?
That's how I know...
Monty Teo got.
Well, that's true.
He's a Twitter hoe.
Yeah, but it was a fake Twitter hoe. But still, it was a Twitter hoe.
Yeah.
And, okay,
that's how Chad Johnson and his wife that he beat up met.
Really?
On Twitter, yeah.
Oh, that's sweet. That's a great origin story.
Yeah. Hey, he did how'd get you a get tattoo
that,
of her.
How'd you get that black guy? Well, I was on Twitter. I have a friend who met a girl on Twitter. He had... a pretty active Twitter account, and someone was like, I think you're funny. And he's like, oh, that's cool. And he's like, I'm also from San Francisco. And like, oh, yeah, we should meet up. And that's how they did it. Which actually, now using Tinder makes a lot of sense. Like, because you kind of think like, oh, well, I need like this whole, it needs to be an online dating app in order to, you know, meet someone, right? Like, but you can meet someone on MySpace, you can meet someone on Facebook.
Friendster.
You can meet someone on Friendster.
Craigslist.
There's a thousand internet venues.
That's an interesting thing. That's like a totally untapped resource. I don't know anybody who like tries to date people off Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like sending someone a message on Facebook, that's such a baller move at this point. Well, it's like,
when it started out, that was something that was done because of the relationship status. You would see
really,
like,
it's like
they
kicking
single.
Down someone's door and being like, yeah, let's fuck right now. the internet equivalent of that.
Yeah, but no.
I feel like it would work.
Or just whenever you read online dating guides, it's like, don't be afraid to hit on people at the grocery store and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't think anybody really is in the mood to get hit on at the grocery store.
You got to put them in the mood, though. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. True.
You just gotta face up and be like,
you wait until
what's
they
up?
Pick up like a cucumber or a squash.
Uh-huh. And you start giggling.
You just stick your tongue out of your mouth just and point. Nod.
Yeah. No, but usually, you have to make like a victory symbol and then put your tongue between it and sort of flick it at them.
Yeah.
And then you hold a piece of deli ham. And
you know, you walk up and then you do that thing where like you make a vagina with your hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
you're like completed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if she says no when she's walking away, you'd be beach,
yeah.
Lesbian.
Yeah, lesbian.
And then you follow her around.
Is that Scarface?
Yeah. Yeah. That's like the only line that I remember from Scarface.
I doubt that's
my favorite line.
Oh, for sure. Beach, lesbian.
What about pelican? That's the line.
Okay. Okay.
It's not a full sentence.
He says that word at some point.
He says, pelican. That's what he says. Someone look that up. That's what he says.
Fair.
Yeah, no, I've not met any girls on Twitter, but I did get some more Twitter followers. Once again, that handle at Lieb, LIEB 1234567 89.
Probably the best Twitter time. Handle
I think
in the history
so.
Of Twitter.
People don't like it, which makes me happy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Matt Louvre, did either you or Brendan or Brett, did either any of you guys see Man of Steel?
No, did you?
No.
I did. Me and Leap saw it together.
It was beautiful.
Oh. Did you hold hands?
It was nice.
We did. Actually, I sat one space.
Were you friends
space.
With Steel?
Our friendship got more solid, if that's what you're saying.
The red sun does the friendship because it flying powers.
It's true. It's stronger underneath. Well, we built our relationship underneath the red sun, and then when we come underneath the yellow sun, like
yeah,
we just feed off of it.
Sun.
Yeah, we come right under the sun. I have to ask you, Vince, when we sat next to each other, or when we sat at the movie theater, I sat one space away from you
right.
because there wasn't that many people in the theater. And then I started kind of like thinking about it later in the week, and I was like, I wonder if that was like just a really homophobic move or
it's
something.
Pretty hurtful.
I'm not that big on the whole leaving a seat in between. It's not my favorite thing.
So you were,
I'm like, hey, just sit next to me, you fag.
So you were a little hurt.
I wasn't hurt. I liked the other person right there, so I can, you know,
interrupt the movie
yeah,
with
basically.
Your stupid comments.
Yes,
God
exactly.
damn it, you're one of those people.
Yeah,
no, I see,
I don't do it very often. I might do it once or twice in the whole movie.
You know what? I felt because I know I do that all the time in movies. I love to talk during movies, and I was trying to stop myself from doing that because I figured you probably wanted to watch it, and you know, being a
he's a serious film critic.
He is. He's a learned film critic.
I had a notepad.
Yeah, he had
everything.
A notepad which he used to write notes.
One of those little like pen lights.
They don't actually. I don't know if they actually have those. And if they did, I'm pretty sure I would get kicked out for using one.
Yeah, there was like a guy watching everyone the entire time, not
what?
Watching the movie.
Were you at
yeah.
the Kabuki?
No, it was at the Metreon.
Oh,
are we allowed
Matt
to
Leave bougie. Even texted during it, and I was afraid that the guy was going to yell at him.
Yeah, I did text during it, but it was like real quick. It was one text.
It was
a spoiler, and I sent it.
Okay, Man of Steel, good movie. What do you think?
I thought it was maybe about half really good. I thought the first half was some of the best like superhero stuff I've ever seen, and then the last half was just like. Pretty much normal, utter shit comic mm-hmm. book movie.
Mm-hmm. But not utter shit. It was
not utter
it
shit.
It was good.
Yeah. I mean, it was towards the end, it just got
too many explosions.
Yeah. There wasn't bad explosions. I didn't think it went against the mythos or anything.
It's not the explosions' fault. The explosions were trying their hardest.
Yeah. It's just that there was just like a lot of them.
Yeah.
Back to back. And mm-hmm. I sort of sat there like, is this shit still exploding? Are we still doing this?
Yeah, yeah. How many buildings are they going to just plow through while they're fighting?
Yeah, and it was kind of anticlimactic after the whole
yeah.
the whole nice buildup. I really liked Kevin Costner and Russell Crowe and, yeah, their whole thing
yeah.
on Krypton. They made up a whole new backstory that was kind of interesting and nice. And
have you ever said those words before? I really like Kevin Costner.
No, I don't think I have. Those? I really have not.
You didn't like him and Dances with Wolves?
It's been a while. Tatanka.
Yeah, there we go. Tatanka. Balakan.
One time in high school, this girl comes up to me. She goes, you know, you talk like Kevin Costner. And I was like, wow, really? She goes, yeah. And I'm like, I didn't really think about that. She goes, well, say like a famous Kevin Costner line. And I'm like, I don't think there is a famous Kevin Costner line. She goes, say Dances with Wolves. And I said, I don't think he says Dances with Wolves in the movie.
And then he winks.
it's not an NWA song. They're not constantly saying right. the name of their group.
Yeah.
Self-titled.
Paleface, I never got your name. It's Dances with Wolves.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen Dances with Wolves recently since I saw Avatar.
Zing.
No, I remember when I was...
I haven't heard someone shit on Avatar in a few years.
Vampire Suck has got a big Avatar. Not Vampire Suck. The other Seltzer Freeberg movie that just had a trailer.
Movie 43 or whatever it's called?
No, it's called...
They make him
oh,
too
no,
fast
it's called,
to keep up with.
Does it matter what it's
the
called?
The Starving Games, because it's a Hunger
oh.
Games parody. And that's
ooh.
That's like a great
is it Mad Magazine
play on,
sponsored?
That's not yeah. even a that's not even a recent thing to spoof.
No. Yeah.
And Hunger, and you came up with Starving, which yeah. means like the same thing.
You did not even try.
No. You yeah.
Do you think they just don't understand parody at all?
I don't know. I don't know if it's that they don't understand or if they like literally write it while they're being chased.
I feel like though it leaves room for a really sweet parody of those movies. like just a meta parody about how shitty those fake Abrams and Zucker movies would be. You know, like because those aren't Zucker Brothers movies.
No,
but they're produced by them. Or they have...
I don't think they have a part in them anymore. They did... I think they did produce, like, the first couple, like, the Scary Movie 3 or something
I thought they produced, like, this... Yeah, like, the Scary Movie 3 and 4 and 5 or something like that. And then everyone since, I just considered, oh, they're probably making some money off of it. But since Leslie Nielsen died, that was their bread and butter.
Yeah. The Zucker Brothers also went insane. Like, they went super Republican.
Super
and they
made, Republican.
They made, like, a... I forget what it was called.
American
had Chris Farley's brother in it.
Yeah,
it was an
American Story or something like that.
Sounds
an
right.
American Carol. Bill O'Reilly was in it, and oh my god, it was bad. I love Zucker Brothers too. Like they make.
I do too.
They make a lot of.
I always liked them better than.
Like,
I always liked them better than Mel Brooks.
Oh yeah,
well.
I mean, I like Mel Brooks, but
a little far.
It's different. The Zucker Brothers was like...
Yeah, it is.
They don't overplay every joke. Mel Brooks is like sort of more campy and more singing and dancing.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Zucker Brothers, they sort of like...
They were more
the
subtle.
Lines deadpan. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Like Leslie Nielsen's entire delivery, basically.
Yeah, Police Squad, the whole show was like that. That show was amazing. That was so good.
I never saw the actual show.
I recorded it on VHS off like a Comedy Central one night
you
know, when I was like 12.
Yeah.
And I had them all on VHS and they were brilliant.
They are really.
It was like 6 episodes, I think.
Yeah, it was like one season, if that, and it was so freaking funny. And because
I actually liked the British version of Police Squad.
Oh my god.
It was actually a little better.
Was that written by Ricky Gervais's father?
It was. Yeah. It was Reginald
is it
Gervais.
Called Bobby Squad.
Yeah. Bobby Squad.
Ricky Gervais.
Has Constable Squad.
And don't you guys remember
Ricky Gervais?
You guys don't remember Constable Squad, where the guy would walk in and he'd be like, "Oi, what's all this then?"
Yakety sax.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're talking about Dances with Wolves. That brought up a childhood memory I had of being in the car with one of my. I think we were like in second or third grade. One of my friends and we're describing which movie stars that we would be. And he was like, I could be Tom Cruise. And he's like talking about how he's going to be like Tom Cruise.
Wait, what's the game? You just say which.
I don't remember how it started. He was just.
What are the rules here?
Show your penises to each other?
No,
some point?
There were no rules.
Did you have to look like the person?
Yeah, that was sort of the idea.
Okay.
And he was like, I'm Tom Cruise. And I forget who I said. And he's like, oh, no, you can't be that person. You could be like Kevin Costner. And I thought
once
it was.
Once again, holy shit.
And I thought it was funny because he was Japanese. And yet he was allowed to be Tom Cruise.
That makes sense. The height. The height thing.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But I can't remember who I suggested that I wasn't allowed to be.
Well, right now it would definitely be Heath Ledger.
Okay. He's dead, though.
Well, him when he was alive, I think you got a Heath Ledger thing going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Any movie stars that you mentioned is probably going to be better looking than me.
Unless
it's like...
You know Pan's Labyrinth, the guy with the eyeballs in his hands?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of...
Right. Yeah.
Or you could be Andy Garcia.
Or that guy on Boardwalk Empire with the mask. Because
half his face is blown off.
The whole face thing.
But of course, he's actually a very good-looking actor.
Yeah, in real life, he's very attractive.
He's a very handsome man.
That's the same guy who played Hemingway in Midnight in Paris, isn't it?
I never saw that movie.
I don't remember.
I randomly saw him on a Guinness Black commercial.
Really?
Did he have the mask?
No, he did not have the mask.
Okay. Yeah.
He's one of the best characters on that show, though.
Definitely. He's the best character on the show.
I like that show a lot.
I liked, what's his name? Before.
No, I'm wrong. Sorry, excuse me.
What was it?
Jimmy Darmody?
Oh, well, yeah, he was great. But I liked this season, the main guy, Geppetto.
Oh, the bad guy.
Yeah, what the hell is his name?
Michael...
Jip Rossetti.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Corleone.
That guy
I was thinking of his real name.
That guy is good, though.
What is that actor's name?
I'm looking it up. Hold on.
Michael something.
I think we should just keep using syllables to find out his name.
We
should just...
We had good success so far.
Yeah.
Bobby Cannavale.
Oh, I thought it was Michael.
Oh, Michael Shannon. He's on that show too, and he's very good.
This has been another exciting edition of Word Association.
Shannon Doherty.
Yeah. Speaking of people with a messed up face, that's half of their faces.
Did something happen to her face?
No, she's got a like her face like one. She's got one eye that's like bigger than the other and like shifted upwards slightly.
Recently, in a car accident?
No, it's always she's been like that.
Flounder.
What's
that?
She's like a flounder or a halibut.
Yeah,
or
she's got a halibut eye.
She's half halibut.
Weird.
It's one of those things where if you don't notice it, it doesn't bother you at all. And then once you notice it the first time, it's like you cannot unsee
it. Can't unsee it.
Yeah.
Your family guy made like a joke about it where it was trying to climb off her face because she's such a bitch.
Yeah.
Or like Mark Hamill in Return of the Jedi. Or Empire, when he just looked all weird after that car crash.
Yeah. And it turned out that it wasn't
that
actually...
That was the whole, like, you know that story about how he got in a car crash and his face got fucked up, and that's why the whole, like, subplot of the Wampa getting attacked by the Wampa in the ice cave, they had to like, write that scene
to explain,
contextualize why his face was all weird.
Yeah, because he had a huge, like they had to do facial reconstructive surgery. You didn't hear about this?
No.
It was just like 15 years in between New Hope and Empire.
Oh, yeah. Man. Fast forward like 20 years, suddenly he's given STDs to Jason Dove's friend Star Wars convention.
Is that true?
Can you say this on air?
Well, obviously it's apocryphal, but that is the story that...
Allegedly.
I heard that story.
All I saw recently about Mark Hamill was a picture of him picking a cigarette butt out of an ashtray to smoke it. Someone else's cigarette.
That's not a good move.
But quitting smoking's hard, so I get it.
I grew up in San Diego, which means I went to Comic-Con every single year, and there were always like these sad B-list celebrities, and the saddest one of all was the guy who played Uncle Owen in New Hope.
Jesus.
And he was so old. And I was like 14 or something, and he was sitting at this booth, and no one was coming up to him. No one wanted an autograph from Uncle Owen. Yep. And out of pity, I was like, all right, I'm going to go get this guy's autograph. All I had on me was a VHS copy of Turkish Star Wars. And like
sounds
it would
like
have
a sex act.
Here's the thing: it would have been a disaster. It would have been totally offensive if I had actually gone through with it. But as I walked up to his table, he wheeled himself away from the table in his wheelchair, Jesus. And then grabbed his oxygen tank and like wheeled himself away with one arm while dragging an oxygen tank on wheels with the other arm, and he just slowly made his way off into the crowd.
Where do you think he was going? Just off into the sunset?
Just to die.
Yeah.
He was just going to crawl up in a corner and die.
Elephant burial ground.
It would have been
that big moisture farm in the sky.
It would have been really funny if you went to that table and it was just like a smoking skeleton was there instead.
He went to Tashi Station to get some power converters.
Gotta go to Tashi Station and get my butt pounded.
By the way, adding Turkish in front of it, anything, it just makes it sound
very sexual.
Have you seen Turkish Star Wars?
I heard it's horrible.
It's the best.
The
Force in Turkish Star Wars is just Islam.
Oh, nice. I was working out the other day, and the trainer made us do Turkish get-ups. Fuck that.
What are those?
You have to hold a dumbbell flat on your back, hold it over your head, and then just get up all the way up to standing with it over your head, and then get back down and then get up again. Jesus.
You don't have to like punch a bunch of rocks.
No.
Yeah, he knows. Brett knows. He knows about Turkish Star Wars.
It's one of those things that's obnoxious when you're like you have sports coordination because it's like this weird coordination that makes no sense that you're not used to using it ever before.
Oh, that must be so hard for you, being able to play a sport and remember how to do it the next time you play a sport. Oh, you live such a hard life.
No, Brett, the muscles remember for you.
Muscle memory.
No, they don't.
It's what muscle memory is, though.
Slight update, Fantasy Summer box office. Brendan, all of his picks are in, and he's officially has not won. Because he's behind Laramie, and Laramie only has three of his movies in.
I'm mathematically eliminated?
You're mathematically
this is
eliminated.
Bullshit. The fix is in.
I'll say this, though. You chose Man of Steel. I chose Fast Six Furious. Yours was the right choice, turns out.
Yeah.
By 16 million.
I fucked up on the bomb pick. That's where I really went.
What was your bomb pick?
The bomb pick wasn't that bad.
I did Gatsby. Gatsby did better.
But look, Gatsby got $51 million on a $105 million budget, which was 49% of budget. You got 51 on that. Laramie picked Man of Steel as his bomb pick, which was...
What? That's insane.
Well, it's not a bomb, but strategy. The budget's so high that...
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Because the way we're doing it is we're doing budget, first weekend divided by budget, and then subtract it from 100, so it even like the smaller percentage is better.
Okay, so I mean, how close was he?
So he only got 56. He only beat you by 5 on the bomb pick.
Wow.
Technically, though, neither of those were considered bombs by any stretch.
Right.
So
right.
Who knows?
I mean, Man of Steel had the biggest weekend opening of all time.
Biggest June opening, yeah.
Oh
man! So that's the strategy of fantasy box office: is you get a really expensive movie. And if it doesn't have just a bonkers opening, you can recoup a lot on that bomb pick.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
For instance, Ben chose World War Z for his regular pick and a bomb pick.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah. Because, they like cancel each other out?
Because it's so expensive, it might be just a good pick both ways.
Did World War Z come out yet?
I think it's either this weekend or next weekend.
I think it's going to do bad. That's my... feeling about it.
It actually got decent reviews.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That's good.
But that doesn't really.
Do you guys know? Did you know Max Brooks wrote it? Mel Brooks' son.
That's right. He wrote the book.
Is that true?
Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
He named him Max.
Yeah, I know.
Had to be Max.
Maximum Brooks. Yeah. No,
you
I
think that was a sort of
a slight to his other son.
No, do you think that was Brooks? Do you think that was a hubris pick where he wanted him to sound like himself?
What?
Yeah, Mel, three Max, letters starts with M. Yeah,
Tim,
totally.
Jim, Bob,
maybe.
Mel. Wait, that's his
actual. That's actually just Mel.
Jesus, Mip. I'm stupid.
Could have named him Mip.
I hope we spend the entire podcast just using the first parts of names to try and get to more parts of names. It's like Fly.
Mud.
Cly is good.
So Brett is almost eliminated.
Stay.
Brett has 3 of his picks in, and he has 98 points, whereas Brendan has all of them, has all 4, but 224. So Brett might actually lose by like 100 points.
It's possible.
Oh, no, never mind. Despicable Me hasn't come out yet. Sorry, I apologize.
What are you talking about?
And my bomb pick's going to get me a solid 80, I think.
Despicable Me has not come out yet?
Despicable Me 2.
Oh.
Sorry. Yes. I shortened it.
That's what I've got, right? Lone Ranger and Despicable Me 2.
That's right.
Yeah. I can make it. I can make it.
Lone Ranger looks stupid.
I'm going to win.
Yeah, it looks really bad. That one is definitely, that one is probably the bomb pick.
Yeah.
I think Army Hammer is a latter-day Paul Walker.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't mind him as an actor, but he's definitely used in very narrow.
I don't think I know
deliveries in the
you know,
trailer.
You know what they say?
Rough.
When you got an Army Hammer, everything looks like a nail.
I want to hate you for that, but I just
I know it's
I
like
want to kiss you.
Around.
Yeah. Now, all right. So, sort of topic. On Twitter today, someone suggested the idea of Punch-A-Vision, where it's like a movie where you can actually punch some of the characters. And so the question I put to you, I have a few answers of these that I think are very clear to me, but what movie would you watch in Punch-A-Vision where you could actually punch the characters?
Oh, that's a great question.
They're not necessarily able to punch back. You don't have to worry about getting beat up. Mm-hmm. But
oh, okay. Steel Magnolias.
Good. Okay.
Downfall.
Okay.
Just keep punching Hitler.
That's such a Jew answer.
Yeah, that is.
Koyaanisqatsi.
Just trying to punch the challenger.
Punches till it explodes.
Yeah. Fuck that school teacher.
Oh, man. Tombstone? That's a punchy movie.
You think?
Yeah, totally.
Do you hate Tombstone?
No, I love it, but I want to punch a lot of the characters.
Which ones?
Val Kilmer. Just anything that Val Kilmer's in. I feel like he's very punchable.
Oh, but he's
the Doors.
So
Willow.
He's so good
Willow,
in that.
Awesome punching movie.
You think
they can't punch back
for Warwick Davis?
Yeah, all the Daikinis and the what are they?
I don't remember.
Pecs and Daikinis.
I don't remember
the brownies. Were the brownies?
Oh yeah, just punch the fuck out of Rick Overton.
Kevin Pollak.
Kevin Pollak and Rick Overton, two accomplished comedians,
that's right.
In the worst role Rick of their Overton. Careers.
What do you have against Val Kilmer, man?
Nothing, but he's very punchable.
See, I would think real life Val Kilmer would be punchable, but when he's in movies, he's so good.
Is the Doors,
he was
very
great
punchable.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh yeah, he was.
There's not very many Val Kilmer roles where I'd, well, maybe like The Saint, but
Batman.
I don't know. Oh, I always liked Travolta. Val Kilmer.
No, he was bad.
Oh, he's so good in Tombstone, and in other stuff.
I think I would punch Ice Cube in Are We There Yet?
All right, that's a good one.
And I would punch Ice Cube in Anaconda.
And
I'd punch the Anaconda in Anaconda.
Yeah.
What about Jennifer Lopez? I mean,
punch that ass.
Yeah.
We need to start talking about J-Lo's ass again because I feel like that's
our listener rate goes up every time.
Gone out of
Prometheus.
You would punch Prometheus?
Every object in that movie.
Yeah, there was.
I still haven't seen it.
There's a lot of punchability.
Is it good?
Prometheus was a. It was a. I would say it was a hotly contested discussion on the Frogcast because
there are many things
we
hate about it. Sorry,
right? Yeah. Well, that's exactly what I was about to say. I think what we finally agreed on is there was so much we loved about it and so much we hated about it.
It's very much. I thought of Prometheus when I was watching Man of Steel because it's the same type of thing.
Mm.
Where they do a lot of the big stuff right, and then some of the details are just so. Pretty much, with Prometheus, I think it's like the characterization. Every character is like a bad reality show character, where they have like one super pervasive gimmick, and that's their entire character.
Right, the crazy scientist with the mohawk.
Yeah, I minimize risk.
That was one of the most absurd lines in modern movie history. I'm here to minimize risk.
Yeah, but I'm gonna say Holy Grail of Punch-A-Vision. I know I just saw it.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
The Bling, yeah, exactly. The Bling Ring. Pretty much a lot of Sofia Coppola movies are pretty punchable.
Oh, okay.
A lot of that sort of genre.
Oh, God, Sasha Grey. Anything that Sasha Grey's in, just punch her.
I think
she likes that though.
She's into it.
Whenever she's trying to be serious, whenever she's trying to be respected and an adult.
She's in that one movie where she's a call girl that got great
girlfriend
reviews.
Experience.
Yeah, and it
I
got
hate
great
her.
Reviews, and it was terrible.
I hate her.
It was, and nothing happened to that movie.
I'm a Buddhist.
Yeah,
I'm like a Buddhist. I'm an existentialist Buddhist.
I would. Can we punch TV as well? Punch a vision
sure.
Includes TV.
Well,
just every episode.
That might be too broad.
Every episode of Entourage, I think I would just punch.
You said Lost.
I would punch Lost.
Yeah,
just after the whole season island. One, which should have been a miniseries. Anything after that, just punch.
Or, I mean, TV's almost too easy because, like, Nancy Grace, I would almost, like, take a chainsaw to her.
Right. But if we're talking about, like, just all fictionalized, like, dramas, maybe we'll just keep it with the cinematic dramas on either cable or premium channels.
Right, okay.
So if we were to
there's a lot of Borges I would punch just on the basis of bad accents alone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad accents in that show.
Jeremy Irons' accent is so grating.
The guy who was Rawls on The Wire, he doesn't even bother.
yeah, he really doesn't.
He doesn't even, I don't need an accent. He had like in the first episode when his son died, he had like a, no! Like there's a lot of bad of stuff about the
I don't even remember that guy's character, but
well, what about the guy who played McNulty? I'd punch him every time he slipped back into a British accent during The Wire.
I don't want to punch anyone from The Wire. I just want to punch people who I have heard talk about The Wire.
Who like The Wire?
Just who make me listen to them talk about it.
Yeah. Do you want to punch me right now?
No.
Thanks.
I really don't want to ever
punch you. I think your Sasha Grey thing is interesting because it's weird to me that she has gotten so much mainstream fame out of porn because I think her entire persona is the part of porn that I don't like, where I feel like her entire persona is, it's like she's using getting fucked in the ass as a way to prove that you will never, like you can watch her get fucked in the ass and she's just kind of like using it to lord over you almost, where it's like, yeah, I'm going to get fucked in the ass and you're still not going to know anything about me and I'm going to be better than you.
It's just this, the look, Matt knows, I have like kind of weird opinions about porn and porn stars.
Right.
And Sasha Grey is kind of emblematic of this new breed of porn stars that expect to be like patted on the back for being exploited and like being porn stars and shit. Where my baseline opinion is like, you pretty much shouldn't be able to just be a porn star. That you're cheating on some level and you're getting away with some shit and like whatever, but don't expect us to like congratulate you for it, that you have this grift, this like easy lifestyle.
Well, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum in some ways in that I like to at least try to see porn as just another thing. Right. Like I don't like to try. I jerk off to it. I don't want to like judge people that I'm jerking off to. They're providing a service to me. I feel like it's hypocritical for me to sort of judge them for providing it. But at the same time, with Sasha Grey, I feel like she's almost using porn as a way to prove how much cooler she is than you.
Right.
She's like, look, my fucking boundary. I don't even have boundaries.
Right.
Like, your whole worldview is so small and I don't even think about it. Look, like, look what I'm doing. I don't know. She just has that look to her that she's always constantly trying to prove how much cooler she is than you.
That's so very quaint that you guys all still view pornography in terms of characters. I just see it as like slabs of meat grinding. Yeah.
But that's the point. That's the point, is that that's what it should be, but they're trying to render it otherwise.
Yeah.
Of like, I would love to be able to just objectify you, but you're subjectifying yourself by having all of these like
opinions
blog
about
posts.
Shit.
Why anyone would follow a porn star on Twitter is completely beyond me.
They'll send you private pictures of their vagina.
They don't.
But
because if
might.
You see them as a person, it becomes more intimate when you watch them having sex.
And honestly, to porn stars but and strippers, even strippers get people who are irrationally in love with them. Mm-hmm. So for a porn star to have a Twitter and have followers, those followers, you know, some of them are just like, oh, I'm following Sasha Grey because she sometimes says some interesting thing about Buddhism. But a lot of them are like, oh, well, this is my future wife. Like, that's a real thing. Like, even with non-famous people who show their titties.
But as a porn star, you have to stoke that sort of fandom if you want to make money, especially now.
Yeah, I mean,
there was a time when you could just
be anonymous.
You know, be anonymous, and you were like, all right, you're making porn and people pay for porn. But now, not everybody pays for porn. Only like, you know, a quarter of the people watching porn who are like super fanatic. It's like the fandom has gone from being, you know, a mile wide and an inch thick to like an inch wide and a mile thick.
Well, I'm very sad for them.
And
well, yeah,
I'm very sad for all the porn stars.
I think
that
that's
don't have
a terrible industry where you're courting the whales.
Yeah, I think that's the smart move, though. Yeah, get those desperate suckers who are going to pony up thousands for like, you know, a plaster mold of your vagina.
Yeah.
That's how you make money.
I mean, that's what you have to do as when your industry is sort of, you know, declining in market share overall.
Yeah.
Learn a real skill.
Well,
it's making me horny.
Learn to provide real value to people.
Oh, my God.
Come on. Being a porn star is not providing real value.
No, it is
to
not.
People.
No, it's not.
Yes,
it
is.
Oh,
no, it's
way more than comedian. Porn star is way more legitimate than comedian. You guys are, no offense, but you're glorified like clowns with which to throw darts at.
Oh, they're the same thing. I totally agree with that.
I mean, they're very similar.
I mean, they're similar, except that they're completely different. Whatever.
Go ahead. Come on. Defend.
It's different. Comedy's different. Comedy is better. Comedy's better than porn. I'm going to say it right now. You may not agree.
Yeah.
Fuck the haters. I'm an iconic.
Fuck the haters.
I don't care.
We do social commentary. speaking of which, I got to go do social commentary. I'm still lonely. My Twitter handle, once again, is @Lieb. L-I-E as in eagle. B as in boy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's @Lieb. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I guess I don't have to say @. So it's just Lieb. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
I like how people are like, oh, you got 3 dudes with B names on your podcast. And I'm like, well, this week's going to be better because I got 2 guys named Matt. And
ML.
Yeah, ML. Matt L. Yeah. And Lieb means love, which sounds like Louvre.
And Louvre means wolf.
I think you win this round. You win this round, Wolf. Bye, Wolfen. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Yeah.
Speaking of Wolf, I did. Did you guys watch the Wolf of Wall Street trailer yet?
No, I didn't get to see it yet.
I will play it. I will play it for you.
All right.
It's exciting. I can't wait to hear this trailer.
It's pretty audio driven.
I'm going to audio drive myself to another ride. You kids have fun.
My name is Jordan Belfort. The year I turned 26, I made $49 million, which really pissed me off because it was three shy of a million a week.
We're making a name for ourselves.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways, or in circles. You know what Fugazi is?
Fugazi. It's a fake.
Hey, Fugazi, Fugazi. It's a wazi, it's a woozy, it's a fairy dust.
Was all this legal? Absolutely not. We were making more money than we knew what to do with.
We don't work for you, man.
Yeah, my money take to your booze. Technically, you do work for me.
What's wrong, Daddy?
We're watching you bring it home.
Oh, my God.
FBI, any kind of booze you might want?
No, the Bureau forbids us from drinking.
Ugh.
So follow me, you're good.
How does this actually work?
There's a big money sign.
They get launched at the time they stick.
This is their gift, okay? They're built to be thrown like a lawn dart.
One, two, three!
Stop.
Okay? Safety first.
Safety obviously. Is safety no, is it. First. We don't want to get a bad reputation.
Yeah, that's Kanye.
Spring bankers, dude.
I like that. I like that a lot.
It looked like a Pitbull video.
So now,
Dale!
On the one hand, I kind of want to see that, you know, just because it's got Matthew McConaughey beating his chest at the end and pretty much a sucker for anything that Matthew McConaughey does.
You're a sucker?
A sucker. A sucker, a Zucker, yes, bro. Exactly. Just want to parody him. But in a deadpan way, not like Mel Brooks did. But I don't know. I have this weird thing where that guy wrote his own memoir about how awesome he was, basically. And now Martin Scorsese is going to make a movie about it. And it's going to be yet another.
That was Scorsese?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. And it's going to
be. All after Shutter Island, it all just kind of.
What was that movie he made about clocks? The animated
thing. Oh, I never saw that. Hugo.
What the fuck happened?
Did you see it? Was it not good? I didn't see it.
I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, the thing where you make the movie about how shallow and decadent Wall Street is, but all it does is just make it look really
make
awesome.
Them look awesome.
Are you talking about Hugo? Is that the one with the clocks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
No.
I didn't see it either.
Didn't care to. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like every time they do that, you know, like Scarface was supposed to be a cautionary tale.
Right. No, everyone completely misses
the point. Nobody got the point of that. Wall Street, no one got the point of that.
Because they never make it to the end of the movie because they're too strung out on coke by the middle of it and then have to go out and fucking be awesome all night long.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen Scarface.
It's not.
I feel like Scarface really. Is like, you know, the like those nerd shirts where like nerds will wear the button-down shirts of like the Hulk or Spider-Man? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel like the like Scarface is that, like, it's just the gangster equivalent of like those shirts.
Oh, for sure. It's a gangster Captain America shirt.
Yeah, and they'll be like, yeah, dog. It's like, you know, he had his word in his balls. He didn't break them for nobody, dog. Yeah. Yeah, he was gangster. It's like, no, he alienated everyone around him and died.
Alone.
Alone.
In a pile of coke. He snorted a pile of coke, and then he shot his machine gun at the cops, and then he died.
Yeah, man. He went out.
Yeah.
He went out like a G.
But that was like Wall Street was supposed to be. Oh, look how bad Wall Street is. And then everybody's like, oh, man, I want to be just like Gordon Gekko.
Yep. Is Sasha Gray in this movie?
She could be.
Just not giving a fuck.
I feel like this is going to be that even more so because it's about, like, the guy who it's about wrote it himself.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Great. It's going to be like Catch Me If You Can. Also starring Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's really becoming the go-to guy anytime they need, like, a rich guy to throw money around and...
What's this Gatsby playing at, anyway? Nah.
What's this fella's deal?
Did we lose Brett?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Why aren't you doing stuff?
Scorsese?
Yeah.
I don't have a lot on the topic.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know. I saw Shutter Island. I was kind of pumped for it because I thought it was going to be Kubrickian, and it wasn't. And I was like, I don't know. He's an old man who wants to make movies that maybe for his grandkids or something. Like, he's very nostalgic about shit. It's not
really. I heard it was just awful.
Yeah, well, it was very, it was like a genre piece that didn't really do anything new. It was like an homage to something that I didn't see or didn't really care to. It was very strange and it was very nostalgic, and I just kind of was like, maybe done after that. Yeah, he had his groundbreaking stuff, and I think he's past that.
I didn't realize that Hugo and Shutter Island were his last two.
Did you guys like Gangs of New York?
Yeah,
I liked it.
I loved Bill the Butcher.
I felt like that was
the rest of the movie was kind of garbage, but.
I felt like a lot of people didn't like it, and I was like, I feel like it's
really strong on People in Place, but the actual plot of the movie is not very great.
It feels very wobbly, like you're not really sure if you're following a plot line or just kind of spiraling.
I feel like any of those deficiencies are more than made up for by Daniel Day-Lewis in a tour de force performance.
And just like, it's pretty much the best costume design and... Uh-huh. Set design of probably any movie.
I genuinely can't think of a scarier villain in a movie than Bill the Butcher. I've never had the experience of, like, besides maybe like Alien or whatever, of watching a movie and being physically frightened.
Yeah, and he was also like charming and terrifying at the same time. And anytime you combine top hats with like 10 different patterns and a pocket watch, I mean, come on.
Then you're on Valencia Street, right?
Those lovable scamps.
Yeah. I think part of the reason that people didn't like it probably Cameron Diaz and then the general lack of plot.
Mm-hmm. Cameron Diaz and Leonardo DiCaprio.
I forgot about Cameron Diaz in that whole movie.
I'd
sort of cut her out in my memory.
It's easy to just gloss over.
She's very forgettable in that movie.
There's that part in the movie where she's like, "We'll go to San Francisco."
And she like points at the map and then you go all the way around
the Cape of Good Hope.
Yeah.
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 It's very romantic.
Yeah, I liked Gangs of New York more than I feel like everybody liked it, and I didn't quite like The Departed as much as everybody liked it.
I feel like Departed suffered from the same wobbly plot. I think it wasn't quite as tight as it could have been. I never saw Infernal Affairs, so I don't know if the Chinese one was as wobbly, but it could have definitely had a lot more punch if he had cleaned up some parts.
I just left
a lot of the gut punches where they cross paths or narrowly avoid getting caught. He just sort of left those on the table where you're like, okay, well, I guess they narrowly avoid getting caught.
I thought the plot was fine. My main issue was with the end. The end was quite sloppy.
Yeah, it was just everybody.
I liked the end.
Everybody getting shot in the head over and over and over again.
Yeah, it was a little silly. I can see why you liked it, Brett. That's right up your alley. it was so over the top that it got a little silly by the end, where it's like, oh no, I'm going to shoot you in the head. Hey, I'm going to shoot you in the head.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
I enjoyed that all of the good work he did went totally punished.
Right,
where he had lived his life according to a code and was executed for it with no name or recognition whatsoever.
Brett gets off on that stuff.
I do. I like me some
unrequited lives.
Brett likes him some futility.
Yeah, I like the thrashing that happens before the futility too, where you think you have a chance and it's like, no, no, wrong.
And you're proven wrong.
Yeah.
You like people striving, feeling like they have a chance and then getting proven wrong in the most clear cut way possible.
Yes. No, no romantic, no romantic last ride into the line of police. I just want them to trip and fall and die in their shower.
Penalties must be swift, severe, and humiliating.
So how do you feel about Out of Sight?
How do I feel about Out of Sight?
Yeah.
Like with Clooney?
Yeah, where the guy's just like trying to run up the stairs and all of a sudden he trips and blows his brains out.
Hard. I'm like, that is exactly how shit would go down.
Yeah.
So you know the reaction that the Red Wedding got on Game of Thrones from Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
It was hard not to see everyone like freak out about it. And they were genuinely upset and felt betrayed.
Yeah.
And I totally don't relate to that at all. Like I want my most beloved characters killed off because that's sort of the way things go. And for no reason, like inconsequentially. Like they made a wrong turn and got, you know, knifed by some brigands on the road or whatever. Like I like that kind of stuff.
That's sort of the draw of Game of Thrones in the first place, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's very appealing. And I'm a little concerned that I've been reading the Atlantic rundowns as they were happening.
You
and I think
would.
They've made a good point where as this thing becomes increasingly about the show and less about the books, that they're just going to lean very heavily on the shock value. And they've kind of run through the things that could shock you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know. There's a point at which it stops being shocking.
Well, the last episode was just very bad in general.
Well, the last, you mean of the season?
Yeah, the last one of the season. Like, it ends with her, like, crowd surfing through a group of minorities calling her mother.
Yeah, that was a little uncomfortable.
That was very, like, white lady solves racism. And then, I don't know, I kind of enjoy Hodor, but at the same time, the retarded guy who can only say his own name is, I don't know.
So I stopped watching like halfway through season two. So you catch me up to speed. Is there messy cunnilingus that happens on screen? There's some like wet face slapping and like dick wiggling.
Less sex in this season in general.
Do they say winter is coming every 30 seconds?
No, because that was mostly Ned Stark who said that.
Yeah, there's less sex in general.
Are there zero White Walkers ever?
There's one White Walker. Oh, the thing that pissed me off was when the fat dude stabs the White Walker and he explodes. And then instead of like picking up the knife that, holy shit, whatever knife I use to stab this guy with is obviously awesome. I should probably keep that. They like run inside the house.
Yeah, but then it shows him later like giving a bunch of obsidian and saying like this works or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Dragon glass or whatever they call it.
It's obsidian.
Yeah.
Hey, so you read the books. Does it get more about the church in the next couple of things? Because I kind of like that angle where there's a burgeoning religion involved.
Yeah, it does. There's a couple. Yeah, there's a couple religious subplots in the fourth book. It's really good. That's probably the highlight of the fourth book is that whole part, I think.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Do you think that's his attempt to sort of make real what people believed like in the Middle Ages?
I think he's following. He's got real world inspiration, and that's sort of what happened when the loss of power in the feudal system was. There was, you know, a quick rise as the Roman Catholic thing came into power, and then it was like all the mercantile class.
He said that he based it off the War of the Roses, all the different families fighting.
Right, but I mean, at a certain point, there was like actual barbarian kings who were like. Well, I'm going to pray to your God this day, and I'm going to pray the old gods this day, and whichever gods can make me win the battle are the ones I'm going to go with.
Gives me the virility.
Yeah.
The boner sauce.
They wanted to cover their bases sort of thing.
Barbarians always trying to have it both ways.
I know,
it's
right?
Pascal's Wager, I believe.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that it's
how much was his wager?
It was $1.
His immortal soul.
Okay. I don't know that I would read into it as like really trying to say something about religion.
No, I mean in terms of trying to overtly write a scenario how people might have been thinking about it. Like he makes the magic shit real, like people might have believed, like the way people might have believed it was actually happening at the time. You know what I mean?
The way people used to believe there were dragons.
Yeah.
Shit. I don't know. I guess I never thought of that.
I don't know.
I just always kind of took it as I'm reading a fantasy novel and weird shit's happening.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
I'm not shooting it down. I guess I just always sort of thought hey, I'm just reading a storybook.
I didn't really have anywhere to go with that. I just thought it sounded smart.
It did.
You should have just left it hang and then seemed doubly smart because no one had response.
Yeah.
So that is the most powerful thing.
That's a very good question that has no answer or interesting response to. So, Brandon, Arno Core, everything you hoped?
Well, I had hoped that a friend would show up to watch it with me.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have to a little background on this.
Story for the listeners. It's hard for me to get Brandon to go out at all anymore. Mm-hmm. And so we had a plan to go to Arno Core, which is the band that impersonates Arnold Schwarzenegger and sings songs about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to go to that on Friday night. And I was really excited. We were both really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out with some other friends who were in town to the happy hour thing. We were supposed to see this band at 9:30. And I got back to my house at like 8:00. And Brendan was at a dinner. I was going to take a little nap to get ready to go to the concert. Forgot to press on my alarm. And I just slept right on through till 1 in the morning, and I missed the whole concert and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
Brendan, don't feel bad, because he's done that same thing with Perry Gripp, possibly his most respected cultural icon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's always the things that I love the most that I sleep through.
Did you know what concert you saw? Yawnacore.
Yawnacore. Yeah. Is that like yawn where everybody pretends?
Where you yawn.
Oh, right. Just hardcore yawning.
Uh-huh.
He was watching Arno Coz. Yeah, it was good.
Arno Snore.
Oh, there it is.
That's the one.
That was the joke you all been striving
for. Yeah, it was good. There was, kind of your typical openers. The punk rock band with the chick singer.
No way.
Yeah, of
course. They have those?
A chick?
Yeah. Then there was the other opener, which is, let me just describe this band for you. Got two guitarists, bassist, lead singer. Both guitarists and the bassist are playing big hollow body guitars.
Hollow body bass?
Yeah, hollow body bass with a leopard print strap.
Okay.
The bassist and rhythm guitarist are standing next to each other. They're both massively overweight. Rhythm guitarist has the mutton chops with, the slick back hair. He's wearing the sleeveless Ramones.
Rockabilly.
Yeah, sleeveless Ramones shirt. Okay. Got a handkerchief hanging out of his back pocket of his jeans.
Which pocket?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention. Mm. You could have told me if you were there. Meanwhile, bassist, shaved head, but also quite as large, sleeveless shirt, Chuck Taylors. And then you got the lead guitarist with, the old-timey bowling shirt with the sleeves cut off.
Okay.
Wide brim fedora.
It's like a weird combination of looks.
Yeah. It's a couple different things. Yeah, and then they played I'm easy. They played like three-chord punk rock with the sort of Chuck Berry licks over it, and yeah, they're okay. They also played some Misfits songs, which was cool. Played a Ramones song, which I dug.
Did they play the Misfits song better than Danzig played the Misfits songs when he was in San Francisco?
No. I mean, not that Danzig was that great, but it was Danzig still,
Yeah. But I feel like Danzig's guitarist had the gain turned up super high so he could do the harmonic like squeals every now and then.
Uh-huh.
So then when he was playing chords, it just sounded like a bunch of like crunchy sludge.
Yeah. The audio was not great at that show.
No.
It's also by far the loudest concert I've ever been to. We're talking about Danzig played with Doyle, and they did a bunch of Misfit songs, which was fantastic. But yeah, it was a very loud concert. So anyway, Arno Core came on. They're pretty good. I got to say, those guys do not break character. I actually saw the lead singer, and I I stuck my hand out, and he, you know, did the hand slap like at the beginning of Predator. You know, he's like, "Hey, the ballsy goddamn hero right there!" And I was like, "Yeah, can I get a photo?" And so I took a photo, and I said, "Yeah, it's gonna go on the internet and the social networks and the Facebooks and all these things and things of this nature." And he's like, "Yeah, exactly." That was it. That was our conversation.
Do you think that gets exhausting for them?
I was thinking that, right? I was like, this has got to be. I wouldn't want to do that. That's awful.
They're like docents at some historical park.
Yeah, exactly. Like the,
fired, they break character, just churning butter, hands bleeding, eyes covered in tears.
Right.
What about when you get like a group, like on the off chance that a band that impersonates Arnold gets a female groupie? And she goes back into the van, the tour bus, whatever they got going. I'm thinking like a converted ambulance. But, you know, he gets her back into the tour van, and he's trying to hit on her. Is he doing it in Arnold the whole time?
Do you like ketchup?
I don't know.
Do you like ketchup?
I'm just saying that, like, when they were interacting with the fans, there was... It was all in character.
Yeah.
He was talking about UFC. He's like, "Yeah, we're going to be on the bus down to San Diego. Not going to get to watch the UFC. Dan Henderson, he's my favorite fighter."
Interesting.
Yeah. And then other guys aren't quite as good, so they just don't talk as much. Like, they need a lot of work. But I actually saw...
So they're not actually Austrian?
No, they're not.
Okay.
They're from Oakland.
Were they, like, making women fillet carrots in front of them and stuff?
No, none of that.
That'd be fun to watch.
Well, I actually saw, I recognized the drummer because the old drummer was a midget. So I recognized him at another show.
You mean Quado?
Actually, I think it was a Dwarves concert. I'm not joking. it's not a joke. But I said something to him like, "Hey, you're the drummer from Arnold Corn." He's like, "Yeah, that's right, yeah." And he like slapped my hand. And he was like all dressed up like a hipster. But he went right back into the Arnold.
Dude, hipster midgets?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's good, too. He could play. And he's also pretty strong because the lead singer's a big dude. And he got out from behind the kit and, like, picked him up and then, like, squatted down and, like, chucked him off the stage.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things that you don't think of. I mean, dwarves usually... Was he one of those long-armed dwarves?
He was like...
Plus one to strength.
He was wearing his arm lengthening helm.
I don't know.
The amulet of drumming.
I mean, he was like, it was to the point where you're like, is he just really short or?
Oh, really?
Is he, you know, you like can't really tell. He's like very borderline, but I mean, he's 4 foot something.
But there seems like there's some dwarves where it seems like their arms are short even in proportion to their shortness, and other ones where it's like they have regular size limbs and then just a small torso.
Yeah. I mean, it was like somewhere in the middle because he wasn't quite, I mean, he still, you know, could play drums.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't have little corgi arms.
No, okay. He didn't. He was good. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, they played and then they just like, their troll game is strong. They just brought on a polka band and they just walked off stage and brought on a polka band.
And how long did the polka band play for?
I don't know. I left.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't want to be there any longer.
What's wrong with polka? What do you got against polka, man?
I don't feel like listening to polka anymore. I was tired. I was there by myself.
Yeah.
There was two kids standing next to me. They were like 10. It was weird.
So what did you do there? You just sort of stood there?
Yeah, sort of stood there. I was like kind of on the edge of the pit, so I was sort of, you know, pushing kids back in.
Mm-hmm.
They played all new stuff. It was a record release party. So didn't get to hear classics such as Total Recall, okay. You Lack Discipline, Rise of the Machines.
What are the new songs like?
They're actually a lot more...
They're all political.
Yeah.
It's like Rage Against the Machine stuff.
They were
about
all...
About budgets.
Well, it's funny, they're running out of material. So, you know, there's only so many Arnold movies. So
Car Tax.
One of the songs was...
YouTube Comedy Week, the song.
One of the songs was Hercules, because the first movie he was in was Hercules in New York. And one of his great lines from that is he picks up a car and he goes, "Fine chariot, but where are the horses?" And that's the actual chorus of that song.
Right.
I will say, like, the first time I saw him, it was just kind of a crappy hardcore joke band. So, and they played sort of AFI style, you know, riffs, pre-goth era AFI. And then their new stuff, they actually had two guitarists and two bassists. So they were doing some, at least somewhat, you know, this is relatively speaking for a joke band, somewhat interesting stuff with the two basses, some cool harmony stuff.
Oh, I play lead bass.
It was a little more like new wave of British heavy metal type stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's very specific.
Yeah. Lots of galloping beats, you know, like dun dun dun
dun dun dun. Right, right.
Type stuff.
Sort of Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
I want to see a Jesse Ventura metal band.
That would be good.
Turn this plane around for a single.
Yeah. It'll be called Sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah, that's good.
Or no, Slack-jawed Faggots.
Yeah. So the first time I saw them, they actually, the lights came down, and then they came back up, and they were all red, and they started playing Gonna Have Some Fun Tonight by Little Richard, like the beginning of Predator. Mm-hmm. But this time, they just the lights went down, and they had some like crazy old German, I think it was like Wagner or something. You know, some shit like that. I kind of liked the Little Richard. I thought it was appropriate.
Yeah, that's a little weird and Aryan, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah, it was a little weird. But that was a, you know, I thought that was the best part because the first time I saw them, I had no idea who they were. And so I was like, who the fuck are these guys? And then the lights went down, Little Richard started playing, and then they came out in their
fatigues. You
got
the realization of the
theme. And I got it right away. I was right. Like, oh, Arno Core. Yes.
And it made you feel a little special because you got it.
Right.
When other people are probably still confused.
Yeah. Probably. They're great, though. Every, you know, there's no little sissy hand slaps. Every single one is a grab, you know, like the beginning of Predator. Like, yeah.
If you were to start another band based on an actor, what would it be?
Kevin Costner.
It would be me and Matt Lieb on guitar, the Lieb Schreibers.
All right. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. First album, all about that movie that he was
it's
in.
It's called The Sum of All Fears.
Yeah.
I would make a jam band and call it the Val Chilmers.
Oh. Wow. You know, I kind of see that's... That's actually a good idea. I think someone could make money off of that. Mm-hmm. Just
like a Threadless t-shirt or something?
No. I think you can actually make a band out of it. Because, I mean, what's the jam band concept anyway?
Don't know how to play music.
Well, yeah, there's that. Usually their names are really bad. Mm-hmm. Like the String Cheese Incident.
Yeah.
Like that kind of hurts me to say out loud. It's so bad.
String Cheese Incident. That reminds me of the plot to blow up the Eiffel Tower. Remember that band?
No.
It was like some weird Blood Brothers knockoff band.
Yeah.
This,
Blood Brothers?
There's no story there. Blood
Brothers are amazing.
Blood Brothers. Remember The Locust?
I never listened to them.
They were bad.
Brett knows.
I like the Blood Brothers.
Are they better than the Bacon Brothers?
That's actually my next one. The Bacon Brothers.
Yeah.
What other actor bands could we come up with, guys?
Oh, well, I think there's obviously Corbin Dallas, sort of country band based on Bruce Willis.
How about Jammy Glover?
Jesus. That one comes all the way back around. That's spectacular. You get so many emotions from that. All of them, pretty much. I ran the full spectrum of human feeling when you said that.
Oh, man. This is a thinker.
Oh, Jesus.
Brett, come on.
Don't put this on me. This is you walked into this alleyway knowing full well that you were going to get robbed.
What about...
Complaining when your wallet's gone.
Cruising Sarandon. Like a surf fan.
Damn it.
Oh, that's good.
Emilio Estevezi listening.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Yeah. That's pretty bad. I got nothing.
The only actor I can think of is Martin Short. For some reason,
I keep trying to think of something for Mark Ruffalo, but
Just because you're thinking about Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much nonstop, just always just thinking about him, just, you know, just wondering what he's doing. Maybe he's having some, like, sleepy time tea, getting ready for bed.
He's so disheveled, I'm trying to put him back together in my mind, and so it's
I assume he's got some, like, plaid pajama bottoms going, right? Because he's a laid-back dude.
Yeah. You know, he's always got a few hairs out of place.
Dude. Mark Ruffalo.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah.
Like, sort of a...
Ruffle flow, and he's a rapper.
Okay.
Ruffle flow.
Can we stop doing this?
Yeah, sorry. It's just like you go down that path and it's hard to turn back.
Yeah, and then you get robbed. We've been over this. I saw the Oz movie on the airplane.
What'd you think?
I mean, it was a C plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that he got the crazy zoom on the witch, which I think is his Mark Ruffalo, where he can never get it out of its head.
The crazy zoom on the witch?
That's his, you know, signature move. You get the crazy zoom on the witch that's been revealed. Like, the hair's down and she looks up and then the camera runs in all close on the track.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of his trademark.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember much about that movie and I don't remember a ton.
Yeah. I kind of like Franco's steadfast refusal to act ever. I think I could watch pretty much any movie he's in. I know people don't like it. It's like the Michael Cera thing. But I fully am on board with him not acting at all.
So, is it recommended to see This Is the End?
Yeah, I liked it. I think it's pretty funny.
I want to see it.
Yeah. It's like a really good sketch that goes on for 2 hours. Like, it doesn't really drag. It's funny the whole time, but you get to the end and it still feels like it was a sketch. Like, it doesn't feel necessarily like a story. There's some fun. It's fun. It's a fun movie.
I mean, I'm fond of the idea of them poking fun of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like they don't get too far up their own ass.
No, they don't. No, they're, it's like I said, it's a good Funny or Die sketch where they're sort of poking fun at their own celebrity sort of thing.
But like Kevin Smith, you know, he liked doing that, but it was never funny.
Yeah.
You know, it was like Gus Van Sant counting his money and Ben Affleck, you know, busting Matt Damon's balls and just.
There's a lot of stuff that Kevin Smith sort of popularized without actually doing well.
Yeah.
Like
those shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I can't. I mean, so many shorts now.
I mean, he sort of told people that it was okay to make a movie about, you know, guys just talking, which is true. But then you watch a Kevin Smith movie and, like, none of them really... I like Dogma, but trying to go back and watch Clerks or something, it's not very good.
Yeah, Clerks is the only good Kevin Smith movie.
I think it falls into the...
But have you watched it more than once?
Like twice.
Yeah. Like, I watched it maybe once or twice and thought I was all right, and then if I try and go back and watch it...
Yeah, I bet if you watch it now, it doesn't hold up. It would be... That's my guess.
What about Kevin Riff?
The Kevin Smiths, where you just play Smiths.
Yeah. Panic on the Streets of London, Chad.
Panic on the Streets of Georgetown.
Chad.
This charmless boy.
I am human and I need to trench coat.
Just like nobody else does.
Mm. Yeah.
Sorry, I can't think of any. I'm just trying to think of Smith songs.
Can we get back into stop? Can we stop doing this?
It's
what else? What else? You guys, I hate this. Where's Ben?
What about Martin Skarsgård?
You mean Stellan Skarsgård?
I know that there's a Skarsgård somewhere. Yeah. Skarsgård.
Martin Scorsese. Pick it up. Stop. Funny Like a Clown would be one of the songs.
uh, That was Martin Scorsese. That was funny.
Scorsese.
Oh, God.
Scarface. The Scarfather.
Scarface.
It's hard not to laugh at ska applied to apply to anything.
That's what I was just realizing. It's just like add ska to anything.
Probably the dumbest part of our childhood.
It's so stupid.
How would you, if you were big into ska and then you had children, how would you explain that to them and not sound like a war criminal?
I just buy them their own wallet chains and let them learn.
Why is everything checkered?
Here's why you're not getting laid until you're in your 20s.
Is that why? Because I liked ska?
Yep.
Damn it. Fucking real big fish.
Just salting your game, man.
Yeah. Here I thought it was the cool thing to do.
Goldfinger.
Goldfinger's pretty legit, let's be honest.
Well, they were like half ska.
Yeah.
Half
they
punk.
Put up the pretense.
Yeah.
And the guy kind of sang like a British person.
Mm-hmm.
But then not really.
Her eyes were hazel, her name was Mabel. Yeah, he kind of sang British.
That was a thing for a while.
Mm-hmm. Either that or just be British. Oasis was big at the time, you see.
Mm-hmm. They did the whole thing where they actually were British for a while.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think Oasis actually was British.
No, I know.
Oh.
I was... Yes, Andy.
Oh.
All right. I don't think we've ever brought this podcast to a halt quite as badly as we have.
This is the ska jokes.
I know.
You can't get better.
Ska face.
Ska face.
Well, especially because ska bands always had like the worst puns. Uh-huh. They were all very punny.
Mm-hmm. Well, then they were punny, and then a lot of them couldn't decide whether it was ska or ska. Like
what?
Like the Scatolites?
No one had that problem. There was one person that had that problem.
Well, the Scatolites are like a huge fucking, like one of the more famous ska bands. And it's definitely not the Scatolites.
But I think scat was also like S-K-A-T was also.
Ooh,
like
what if it was a scat band?
Yeah.
Scatman Crothers.
Scott Man Crothers.
Scott.
Scat Can. Scat Con.
Scott Con.
Mm. Scat Braff. Scat Braff and the Kickstarters.
Ridley Scott.
Scalians. Because that way you can play with the pronunciation.
Now you are causing scalians. Physical pain.
Scladiator.
There's tissue being removed from me if you do this.
Scallions.
I wish I could remember more Ridley Scott movies.
The White Skull.
Mm-hmm.
White Squall.
Yeah. Too obscure, man.
I'm sorry.
Perfect ska.
Blade Skanker.
This is the worst podcast we've ever done. Brett, I blame you for this.
I just want it to die. I want to quietly put the pillow over its head, but you guys, you're just like keeping the cords attached.
I know.
Let it go. Let nature take its place.
I don't want to, but once you put your brain in that space, all you can do is try and think of pun things in your head.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we need to broadcast that part of the process.
I know.
Like a list later, and then we write them down, and then we can say them all in a row.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I
mean, something funny about how organic this is, though. Ska face.
Ska track. Into Scottness.
The Empire skanks back.
Scott Wars. Scott Wars, the Empire skanks back.
You know the worst part of this is I'm gonna put my headphones down and walk away, and then I'm gonna have to start a fire just to feel better about myself.
Isn't it hot there?
What?
Isn't it hot there?
Yeah, tell us about the weather in New York.
Are you gonna like blow sparks onto the tinder and then go pick it up?
Brett, contribute something about New York. What do you think?
Don't put this on me. Don't you dare try and put this on me. Mm-hmm. I absolve myself. I wash my hands of this.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we can put it to bed then. I think.
Sure.
We'll see.
Unless I can think of any more good ska jokes in the next 10 seconds. I don't think I can.
There's some guy that sent us a voicemail about having a threesome. I think he was lying.
He lying on his dick.
I was pressing play. So.
Guys, I just had a three-way with two chicks that I really wanted to tell somebody. Also, Third Eye Blind is on the radio.
It's to the point.
It'd be better if you said Bowling for Soup was on the radio.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is what happens when we do a podcast early in the week and I don't come up with any topics for it.
Ska puns.
Ska jokes.
Yeah.
All right.
Roger and Ska. Roger and me.
Okay. Scodger and me.
Scotch.
Skanking for Columbine.
Skanking night 9/11.
Not even going to say the next one because it's still bad.
Just say it because I can't think of any more Michael Moore movies.
Capitalism, I love Scary.
Fuck. Fuck all of it.
Really, the only good thing about this is how much it annoys Brett.
Yeah, that's the best part.
That or ska face. Gorillas in the ska.
All right, well, I can't think of any more.
No, mm-hmm. We shouldn't. I'm sorry.
No, this bitch should end.
Any more words.
We need a lot of penance for this podcast.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening, if you're still listening.
I don't know why you would be.
After all those ska jokes.
Keep skanking.
Keep skanking righteously. Vince, what's the Google voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right. Frotcast@gmail.com. Send any and all ska-related jokes to Brett.
No, please.
Well, to the Frotcast@gmail.com, but attention, Brett. Thanks for listening once again, and thanks to our guest Matt Louvre.
Thank you.
The Museum of Comedy
at Matt Louvre
and Matt Lieb, who left. I think he's still sad about his girlfriend.
The Museum of Loneliness.
Yeah. If only he had been here for all the ska jokes, maybe we could have cheered him up. All right, well, that puts a wrap on it. Thanks for listening once again. Until next week, good night and good chins.